Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 126. I think that's right. Anyway, I have with me, in order of appearing on the screen, Mr. Robert Haynes.
Oh, good morning.
Mr. Rhys Parton.
Good morning.
Mr. Kirby Bartlett Stone. Sorry, I got that wrong, didn't I? Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
And...
or whatever it is.
Mr. Mary Lang.
Mr.?
Sorry. Yes, I got into the rather ridiculous circle of saying Mr. on every single thing there. So I thought it sounded a bit odd if I stopped it. Sorry, Mary. Right, hello.
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 Right.
Hello.
Hello. Right. Now, I've got some audio feedback. Yeah, thank you for that.
This is Matthew from North Alabama sending in feedback on the Series 3 finale episodes, The Sound of Drums, and The Last of the Time Lords. Series 3 was the first series of the new series I watched as it went out, rather than catching on reruns or seeing on DVD. I remember this series ending and being left feeling rather uncertain about the direction the new series was going. And watching this two-part finale again 5 years on, I can certainly see why. I have two big issues with this finale. The first is John Sim's master. While I'll say that Sim gave fine performances in the original versions of both State of Play and Life on Mars, his master doesn't quite work. Part of it is down to this very notion of the master as the anti-doctor, right down to jelly babies, attractive female companion, and a laser screwdriver, who'd have Sonic indeed, which I don't feel really has a precedent with the character we know from the old series. The bigger problem, though, is in the characterization, which, frankly, is all over the place, since the Master's constantly switching from over-the-top comedy that doesn't quite work to being serious and sinister. See the Downing Street cabinet scene with The Sound of Drums, for example. though I feel that Sim was much better at the serious and sinister moments than he ever was in the comedy. For me, this is a Master that is much more reminiscent of Eric Roberts than Roger Delgado. The bigger problem is the script, script for Last of the Time Lords. Sound of Drums is a superb episode as it builds up to its cliffhanger, and it's certainly less talky and better paced than its equivalent episodes in the previous two series. For that matter, Last of the Time Lords itself works for the first half hour or so. I'm even willing to look past the somewhat cringeworthy use of pop music and the overuse of flashbacks in both episodes. But what I can't look past is what happens after that point. Why? Because no matter how many times I've seen this since 2007, I still had the same thought about what happens next. That Russell T. Davies was sitting at his computer, saw the page count, and realized he had to hit the reset button in a hurry. Because that's what honestly seems to have happened, given the left-field resurrection of the magically floating and glowing Doctor and the rushed ending that follows it, right down to how it's never explained that the Doctor somehow unfuses the TARDIS coordinates that he supposedly locked permanently and manages to uncannibalize the Paradox machine to get the TARDIS working again. Davies was often accused by those people that Adam mentioned in the last episode of writing himself into corners, and while I'm not normally someone who would agree with them, this is the one occasion I'm afraid I have to agree with them. Looking back on this finale, I feel much the same way about it that I did 5 years ago. It's got a brilliant setup episode with one of the greatest cliffhangers of the new series, but it's a setup that never gets paid off due to the rushed and problematic nature of the actual ending itself. For me, this remains the weakest of the new series finales. Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Now, I just want to point out my comments of last week about Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat both being brilliant writers was because all I seem to hear are negative things about Russell T. Davies these days. And quite frankly, Utopia absolutely brilliant. Forget about payoffs. I'm talking as an individual standalone episode. That episode was brilliant. And it was written by RTD. However, Now, obviously, we're looking in greater detail about these next two episodes. I'm not saying they haven't got their faults, but as a piece of entertainment, to sum it up before we've even started talking about it, it was okay. It was pretty good. Not the best of the finales, like Matthew says, but I'm not too sure it's not... I'm not sure about the worst. I'd have to really think about that one. It's difficult. We haven't really ranked the finales, have we?
No, I don't think so.
No, so maybe we can do that sometime in the future, but... a tricky one. But anybody got anything to add about Matthew's feedback?
I think we can address some of that in the review.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case...
I want to say that just overall, I do not agree with his thoughts about John Sim as the master.
Mm-hmm.
No, I
thought he was brilliantly played.
Oh, yeah.
I liked his humor... because it wasn't real humor, and you knew it wasn't real
humor. It's a gas mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
So
that was funny.
He made me uncomfortable from the start, and I like that.
But the thing about that scene, and the scenes like that in which he did that, it was acceptable as part of his character. That's why you were able to laugh about it. It was horrendous what he was doing, but because it was him, for some reason, and that's what's so clever about it, it was entertaining. I suppose maybe because it was the cabinet that he was disposing of during the this particular
scene.
And also,
he's a bit like a naughty boy, though, too, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think we all get, a little bit of a kick out of, something we'd love to do.
Yeah.
It's almost black humor, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was different from any other portrayal of the Master, but still a lot of... Sylvester McCoy's portrayal of the Doctor was completely different than anybody else's portrayal of the Doctor, to be honest. So,
even
Colin Baker.
Yeah, exactly. So, doesn't mean it's not still the same character, but I can understand people that don't like Sims' portrayal. But
I can understand people who don't like Matt Smith, but I like him, and I like John Sims as well.
But I must say, I would have preferred it if... Sir Derek Jacobi had been able to continue playing the character right up to the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I agree.
Right, we have some more audio feedback. Might recognise... what on earth is that silly noise?
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Captain.
In last week's podcast, Adam said he had not heard of the TARDIS coming to refuel in Cardiff. In Boomtown, that was why the Doctor was staying in Cardiff overnight. I think in the classic series it was powered through Gallifrey. The Sound of Drums and The Last of the Time Lords by Russell T. Davies. It was Tandy Wimey that we have heard of Mr. Saxon before Professor Yana. The beginning of the episode is time travel without a capsule using a vortex manipulator. That would be how Amy and Rory were taken home by river after a good man goes to war, which some other podcast was talking about. The name Harold Saxon sounds a bit like Harold Wilson, who became Prime Minister in 1964, the second year of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Saxon was Minister of Defence at the time of the Runaway Bride and destroyed the Racknos spaceship. He seems to have become independent, as he says his cabinet abandoned their parties to join him. Yeah. It's quite funny how long the journalist Vivian Rook kept screaming, how quickly the US President died. The Master watching the Teletubbies was a deliberate reference to the Master watching the Clangers and the Pertwee story, the Sea Devils.
That's right.
Later, the Doctor improvises a way of making TARDIS keys generate a perception filter. Pertwee's Doctor frequently improvised devices.
Yeah.
Chips are mentioned again. TARDIS keys also have chips, but the other sort. Martha's mother was still cooperating with the Master. That might have raised a few eyebrows. Speaking of hairy things, the Master as a child had the same haircut as Patrick Troughton's Doctor. The worldwide prayer organised by Martha was silly. On the commentary, Tennant and Barryman were teasing her, saying she should have travelled with a banjo, singing the Ballad of the Doctor. The year that never was reminds me of Donna's time that never was in Turn Left.
Mm.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Now, on the subject of this, the screaming thing, not only was a very, very long scream, but did he say that the door was soundproof at some point?
Well, it must have been.
Very, very soundproof.
Yeah.
Anything more to add about Ian's feedback? Apart from it was fact, it was very funny.
Yes.
No, okay.
Most of it I'll get to in the review.
Yep, very good, very good, yes, okay.
In other words, I'll explain later.
Yeah. Yes. Right, oh, good grief. Alicia, for God's sake.
What the hell do you think you're playing at? Olympic ceremony in an hour.
Yeah, in an hour. If you off, and then I'll be able to get on with it.
Don't swear.
I didn't swear.
Closing ceremony.
Pardon? What did you say?
When's closing ceremony? Soon?
It's in about 50 minutes' time, isn't it, Alicia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully
they'll have the Doctor Who thing they cut from the opening.
No, they won't. They've got the Spice Girls, and I'd like to see that.
Spice Girls, maybe check that.
Take that.
They mentioned it on the news.
Thank you.
Oh, who just burped?
Probably Reese. Right.
I was throwing up.
Alicia, could you please shut the door? Oh, right then, anyway, where did I go? Oh, yes, charts. Now, I'm going to send somebody the charts.
Uh-oh.
Don't get too excited. Who would like to have them? I've already decided who I'm sending them to. But who'd like to have the charts?
Not me.
I don't mind.
Not me.
Who said not me?
I can't read it this morning.
Right. I can guarantee that somebody who said not me is just about to get them.
There you go, Kirby.
Kirby?
Hope not. I'm too tired to read.
Me too.
If it's through email, I didn't get it yet.
It wasn't an email. It's through Skype.
Oh. Clever man.
Mm.
And it's not me.
So it must have been me since you're talking to me.
No, I was just answering your question. Right. Everybody check their Skype messaging system thingamajigs and see if any... Well, one of you will have the charts.
How do you check that anyway?
Yeah, well, you would have...
It was me.
Yay.
Oh.
I didn't feel like it.
Go on then, Mary.
I'll be better next week. I rode 17 roller coasters yesterday. I'm tired.
Well, you didn't have to.
For the hell of it?
Clearly. Right then, go on, Mary. Let's have the charts.
The pictures will be on Facebook later. What is?
Okay, if it's me, everybody shut up.
Okay, I'm shutting up.
Right?
I have shut up.
That's
starting
correct.
We have 30, we have a re-entry, Arrow of Time. At 29, we have a re-entry, Ian Todd's Universe of Podcasts. At 28, we have a re-entry for the Geek Syndicate. At 27, up 3, Kip's Under the
Podcast.
Didn't get that because Robert spoke over it, so should we do that one again?
Yes, please.
All right, 27, we have up 3, Under the Miniscope. At 26, down 3, Earth Station 1. At 25, up 3, The Colton Collective. At 24, we have a re-entry for The Untempered Schism.
Yay!
Speaking of which...
No, the trouble is, it sounds, yes. It sounds a bit rude when you say it, Mary, for some reason. I don't quite understand.
Well, say it again.
No.
What have I done?
Okay, at 23, we're down 2 with the drunken time travel. At 22, did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. At 22, up 3, traveling the vortex. 21, up 1, Tim's take on. At 20.
What are you on about? Shut up. Right, number 19.
Number 19, a non mover, bigger on the inside.
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
They all say that. At 18, a re-entry for the 2-Minute Time Lord. At 17, up 1, Staggering Stories.
You still haven't opened it.
What?
At 16, down 2, the
Hulk.
I missed that one completely.
Sorry.
All right,
repeat.
Come on,
now,
off.
I'm not happy with you.
Repeat?
I'm not hearing.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I'm not hearing it because, unfortunately, Alicia decided that she wanted to come in so as I could open up a bottle of fizzy drink for her just in the middle of that. So I've lost where we were now as well. Sorry, Mary.
All right, once again, at 16, down 2, The Who Historian. at 15 down to playing doctor with Jenny. And at 14, we have a re-entry, the Castaburus podcast.
Castaburus.
Yeah.
Castaburus, okay. All right, now I don't pronunciations.
Yeah, we're not Gallifreyan, you know.
13 is for the Ferris Project.
Was that number 13, by any chance?
At 12, we have a re-entry for Radio Rassilon. At 11,
they listen to on Gallifrey.
At 11, Harmless Cutaway.
Sorry, you'll have to say that one again. Sorry.
Down 2 is Mostly Harmless Cutaway. And at 10, a non-mover, a man with a box. Uh-oh, tensions are getting high here. At 9, re-entry, the Minute Doctor Who podcast.
Minute.
But he does it in a minute, doesn't he?
What?
Look, my mum's done to my ice cream.
So what? Go away. Go away. I'm trying to get this done so I can watch your opening ceremony and stop being pathetic. Right, where'd he go up to? I've got up to number 9, the Minute Doctor Who podcast.
Closing ceremony.
Yeah, that's what I meant, the closing ceremony, yes. Number 8, yes.
All right, number 8 is a non-mover, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yay!
That's not bad, then.
Yippee.
Number 7, a re-entry for the 11th hour. 6, down 1, the memory cheats. How did the 11th hour get to be above the 20 megabyte?
More listeners, probably. More downloads.
Why?
I don't know.
At number 5, it's a re-entry for the Doctor Who podcast feed.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They seem to have stolen some other podcast name there and added the word feed on it. The word 20 megabyte, which is, makes it much less like another Doctor Who podcast name. Anyway, carry on.
Number 4, down 1, DWO WhoCast. Number 3, a re-entry for the Tin Dog podcast. Number 2, a re-entry for Radio Free Scarrow. And number 1, a non-mover, big surprise, the Doctor Who podcast.
Imagine that. Thank you, Mary. What's this thing called again? Sounder Drums. Right. So,
Jack.
Yeah, the Doctor, Jack, and Martha have very fortunately been able to escape thanks to a sonic screwdriver and a vortex manipulator. And just in the nick of time, managed to get to exactly the right point in space and time. Why doesn't the Doctor get one of these things? Because he's able to steer a wrist vortex manipulator to precisely the right...
More accurately than the TARDIS?
Yeah, area in space and time than he was with the TARDIS itself.
It gives one an enormous headache.
Well, that doesn't matter, does it?
Yes.
If you can get to exactly where you need to get to. That's good. I think... Well, one of my bosses came into work today, not feeling very well, on antibiotics, and he was saying...
The vortex manipulator?
Be quiet. And he's not been well for about a week, and he came in today. I said, how are you feeling? They said he's got these antibiotics, but he can't take them because they make him feel sick. So he came into work and he said as soon as he finishes his little bit of work he has to do, he'll take his antibiotic and be sick. And that's that sort of thing. You've got to take them to get well. So with this thing, you've got to get something that makes you feel slightly queasy to get from A to B. I mean, Isabella wouldn't be able to go on holiday with us if she decided point blank that she wasn't going to throw up in the car on every long journey we ever do. So sometimes you've got to suffer these things, haven't you? Bad anyway. Right. So they've landed in the right place in space and time. Also, a good thing is they've realised that he's been there all along, all the time that they've been, you know, having adventures. Even from when Martha met the Doctor, Saxon's been there, and there's a moment in which Martha says that she realises who it is. She recognises the voice that was in the TARDIS at the end of Utopia as Harold Saxon. And, of course, the Doctor has that line, the Master's Prime Minister. Or when he says it sounds like the Martha's Prime Minister. And I thought, yeah. She's been promoted.
Yeah, I remember RTD talking about that and how with the specials, he was constantly annoyed that spoilers were getting out, but he was surprised that nobody heard David Tennant saying that when he was standing in the street.
Right. I've got a problem with computer. It's doing stupid things. Hang on. Right, now it's not doing stupid things. Right then, we're back. I don't know why you lot sound like you've got a funny hiss going on in the background. I don't quite understand that, but I suppose we're going to have to live with it.
Sorry, it's the room full of snakes instead of a dinosaur spaceship.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Right, anyway. So it starts off at a fairly sort of, in a fairly sort of sedate sort of way. Of course, the next set we meet is his wife, isn't it? Lucy, isn't it? So we meet Lucy, and then we meet Tish. Though Tish's actual appearance in the story is a bit, backgroundy.
Yes. Yeah.
Not really doing much, and the same as that Olympic presenter Reggie Yates, who also is not doing very much. But of course, this leads up to rather a funny scene in which he kills the cabinet. Yeah, I love that. That's really funny. I do enjoy that. That scene does actually go on for quite a long time.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, it's quite gruesome actually. You know, the way they die in such a horrible way. Yet it's funny. What's the matter with us all?
Black humour.
I know.
And his facial expressions when he's the exaggerated smile, and exaggerated frown.
He's happy. This is Craig.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's all like being a sort of trained actor, sort of thing, in some sort of part of his acting training he would have been expected to do. So, easy peasy for Mr. Sim. Anyway, so they go back to, sorry, the Doctor, Master, and Jack go to Martha's bedroom, or house, or bedroom. Ooh. And fortunately, there's a computer there for Jack to film. Right. He does like to. Yeah, don't know what sites he's looking at that particular point, but
Skippies are hanging up there in the room.
I've got to mute myself for a second.
Oh God!
I have company. So hang on a second.
You have what?
Company.
Does that
mean be a second?
Does that mean we
in
have
your
to
own
stop?
Time, Kirby?
No. No.
We can carry on.
I just had to figure out where the mute button is for this silly thing.
Okay. Anyway, right, so they quickly... I don't know.
Did you hear me? Her skivvies are on the line behind her all the time.
I did see that.
Kirby, underneath all the pictures, you'll see a microphone symbol.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Grief.
And just press on that, and it says mute your microphone.
Okay. There's audio... Oh, has he done it?
He's done it.
I think so.
Apparently he's done it.
Anyway, right, so yes, they quickly realise for some reason or other, well, no, not quite yet, sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself, because the phone rings, and there's something to do with the bomb, isn't there? But we'll come out to that in a minute, because some sort of woman infiltrates the cabinet rooms, or whatever it is, number 10, to have a little bit of a heart-to-heart with Lucy, rather stupid heart-to-heart, actually, to tell her that he's not... Oh, what's his name? The Master is not... Sorry, Hat Saxon isn't who he says he is and stuff. Mm. Suicidal, but never mind. Then we see Sharon Osbourne doing a cameo.
That's the only person that I knew.
And then
that's right. I forgot about Sharon Osbourne.
And then the characters of McFly. Sorry, the band members of McFly. And then Anne Widdecombe. Standing next to.
So if you're British, you were supposed to know who all these people were. I see.
Well, it is a British program.
The only one that I recognize is Sharon Osbourne, so...
Same here.
Anyway.
Well, it's up to you to be educated on the British. I recognize most of them.
Mind you, for some reason, I knew McFly, even though they're not even really known over here.
I think it might be because one of the members of McFly won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and that's filmed in Australia, perhaps.
Who's the woman standing by Saxon says he's a very fine man and he's handsome, too?
Anne Widdecombe,
yes.
Okay, who is that?
She's a cracker, she's former Westworld, she is.
Oh,
not. I don't. She's a conservative politician.
Oh, okay.
And basic intellectual, and I shall move on.
Yes, good idea.
That woman, obviously doing a mission of suicide, where she goes and tells Lucy Saxon about her husband's sort of not being a husband sort of thing. And then, of course, he's listening in.
That door must be pretty soundproof, because she immediately turns around and, while leaning on it, starts telling her about Mr. Saxon. And I worried at the moment when I saw it. It's like, can't they hear on the other side of the door? Apparently not.
Mm-hmm.
But then she says, oh, hello, we were just having a joke about you sort of thing. Then she quickly changes her tune when he admits to it. Prior to the troclophane. Now, I called them troclophane last week, thanks to Sarah.
Yeah.
Thanks to Sarah from the troclophane podcast. It's her fault. The troclophane. Yes.
Ah, yes. Go
I don't think there's
else.
Been a new episode of troclophane podcast in quite some time.
No, not for a long, long time. But she is a member of the group, and she was very good, but obviously couldn't stick to it. Never mind. Back to this particular episode. So this is the moment we talked about earlier on with the door, when they listen to the screaming and open the door and close it and open the door and close it. meanwhile, Jack makes the tea, and they talk about, and Martha changes her hairstyle. That's it, right? They talk about stuff, just to sort of fill in a little bit, really, because there's not much going on here.
She changes everything.
Yeah, and then the master does a little broadcast. What on earth is that noise?
Is that squeaking?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ah, Kirby's tapping his microphone in the tube.
Trying to figure out if he's still on mute.
Yeah, meanwhile, so the master's talking about first contact, isn't he,
sounds
with an
like
alien
skippy.
Species? Will you stop it talking over? The master talking about first contact with an alien species, isn't he? He's making some sort of announcement to...
And we have some nice flashbacks to previous episodes.
Yeah, and then something... Oh, that's right, something about... Oh, and I forgot to mention about what the world needs right now is a doctor, which is the pre-title sequence thing.
Yeah.
Which, it's a shame they're playing music over, because I'd love to be able to use that as a sample in but they played music over it and ruined it.
Could be good.
But, so they quickly realise there's a bomb that happens to is just about to go off. Oh. Yeah?
And isn't that an Acme-style bomb as well?
Oh, it had to be, didn't it? Why not?
Yeah.
With the words dynamite written down the side.
It's because he's mad he'd use something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, they leg it and sort of get out. Just in time, and then Martha decides to phone her family and tell them to sort of run, which then, of course, enables them to find her family. Brilliant work, Martha. Well done. And then there's a bit of a car chase situation. I love the way Tish gets sort of arrested. She's actually in HQ anyway, and that she's just walking down the stairs and just gets lifted and back up the stairs again.
Manhandled.
But you know what I found a bit silly, though, is they're shooting with machine guns, and all they managed to do was just shatter the back window.
Yeah, just one window.
There's no bullet holes or anything.
Did you notice some of the bullets actually made sparks as they hit the glass?
Yes. yes, I noticed that.
They can shoot as well as stormtroopers in Star Wars.
Oh, right, okay. But did you also notice that Tish was wearing a female sort of version of the Doctor's suit as well?
Hmm.
No, you didn't notice that. That's fine.
I did notice it.
Only because I know I'm being facetious. So anyway, so the chase ensues. Like you say, the bullets sort of bounce off the glass and then shoot a hole in the back. Miss Jack, they might as well have hit Jack, because he was going to come back to life anyway.
Yeah. I like the way when the Doctor says to Martha.
What to
say? I like the way when the Doctor says to Martha to reverse. He goes reverse.
Yeah,
comes out as reverse.
But I can't believe what bad shooters they are. I mean,
they're terrible.
The broad side of the car, they shoot out the back. I mean, somebody had to have been hit.
Yes, exactly.
They're people in uniform in a TV show. They've got to be bad.
They have to be.
Yeah. Like stormtroopers.
Yes.
Right then. So then they sort of go in hiding under a bridge, and I think Martha Folk gets through to her brother. The bloke, Reggie Yates, who... does the Olympic commentary. And then
he does? I didn't realise that.
Then the call gets, well, not commentary, he's just one of the correspondents on the BBC Olympics, and he's a radio DJ, and he's a presenter on BBC music programmes, and the master intercepts the phone call and has a conversation with Martha, where he starts off being all smug and funny to Martha, and when Martha puts the doctor on, the expression on his face changes brilliantly. And he said, the doctor says Martha, when he actually means to say master, so that gets a bit confusing when he picks up the phone. Do you remember that bit? He picks up the phone and goes, nope. Martha. And the master says, I love it when you say my name, which confused me because his name is Master, not Martha.
I heard him say it that way. I heard him say Master, but.
I did.
It sounded like Time Lord phone sex. Yeah,
he went Master.
I love it when you say my name.
No, I think what I'm trying to say is that David Tennant has a problem saying the word Master. It comes out sounding like Martha. Martha. He sort of garbles it a bit.
I heard Master.
All right, so did I, but I'm just... Oh, never mind. So they have a little chat about old times' sake. And the doctor,
Martha's phone is really, really old.
Yeah,
I was thinking that.
Was it old when the program was made,
though? At the end?
Eh?
You know when she throws it to him at the end?
Yeah.
All right.
Is it the same one?
That's what I was wondering, whether it was the same.
Well, we'll have to look when we get that far.
Well, enough of the 20 megabyte car phone warehouse podcast, and back to Doctor Who. Honestly, noticing obviously that the ring the Master's wearing whilst on the phone to the Doctor.
Yes.
And the Doctor tries
his engagement ring.
Yeah, I don't know. But the Doctor tries to talk the Master around, pointlessly.
His graduation ring from the Academy.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
I like Robert's idea.
Yeah, so they have quite a long chat, don't they? Trying to see what
I like how they
next.
Talk about the Taclofane actually being fairy tales that they told each other when they were young in Gallifrey. So it's just a name they were given. It's not really what they are.
Yeah, that's right. Only more running ensues, and the obligatory shots of the various newsreaders from around the world, including...
they do that a lot, don't they?
The American newsreader with the diabolical hair. She never seems to be able to get her hair right. It's a shame.
And they keep using her. They've used her before. They keep using her.
She is the standard. She's the standard American newsreader. Do all American lady newsreaders have bad hair? Or is it just... I don't know.
That we didn't notice.
So this is where he watches the Teletubbies.
Oh dear.
So right, this.
Now we've had discussions about the Doctor drinking. What about the Master? He's drinking whatever that is while watching the Teletubbies.
Yeah, well he would do it.
Brandy or something.
Yeah, you're probably right. But what you know, when they, well, obviously they all go into hiding in some sort of place, which is very similar to a typical Torchwood hideout.
Yeah, it's very Torchwood.
And I'm not too sure it's not one of the hideouts they actually used in Torchwood, to be honest with you.
Could have been.
It does look very reminiscent. There was a bit earlier on in the episode as well I forgot to mention that was filmed down my friend's road in Penarth, because it's also the same road as the following year when the Doctor gets shot by the Dalek.
The Dalek.
Very recognisable. Same road, and there's the building in the background, because when my when my friend took a picture of the TARDIS in his road, that building was in the background. So there you go, which is Penarth High Street. Anyway, this is where we get this, the exciting bit. Well, actually, at the time, when I saw it, I found it quite exciting, when he talks about the Master, because he says that he was once friends, well, they were once friends. Doesn't mention about them being family, but he does say they were friends. And he explains what happened to the Master when he was a child, looking into the Untempered Schism, going mad.
Martha asked, I thought you were going to say he was your secret brother or something, which is lifted straight out of, Shada?
Yeah, but that was partly to try and dispel it, wasn't it? That they put that line in there. But anyway, this is what was exciting, seeing, you know, the Doctor's...
Hey, Kirby.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be pedantic this week.
I can be pedantic when I want
to be pedantic. He was just pointing out another part of the episode.
Fair enough.
My extreme pedantic part is hopefully coming up if Adam pulled the... the sound file down that I sent him a few days ago.
Ooh.
Do I have to play that at some point?
You do.
When you edit things together, if you wish, but what I pointed out was, as they're discussing the Untempered Schism
Hitchhikers,
here...
Hitchhikers, isn't it?
Yes, it's the Total Perspective Vortex is the same thing as the Untempered Schism.
Oh, cool. Okay, thank you.
They even refer to the doctor keeps referring to the Untempered Schism as the vortex several times too, and essentially it does the same thing. You're looking at the entire universe all at once, although the vortex shows you where you are in importance in the universe, and only Zaphod Beeblebrox is the most important person.
Right. Thank you for that. That's brilliant. Now, I just want to go back to that particular scene in which the Master Child...
Have you even heard the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
No, I watched the TV series many, many years ago, but I never heard the audio.
And that's not in the TV series.
Mm.
Well, there you go, then. Right,
can Stop flapping my ears.
I could possibly get back to this annoyed. Episode? Any chance?
There he is.
At some point?
What's that? Go on. Yes, go on.
Marvellous. Right then, back to the scene in which we see the flashback of the Master as a child looking into the Untempered Schism thing.
With gigantic eyes, possibly real.
And like Captain Kirk says, he's got the hairdo of the Second Doctor.
Yes.
Indeed.
Now, actually, they borrowed... Go ahead.
I was going to say, he looks like that little kid on the Omen, the original one.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway,
all of the Time Lord costumes that all the
yeah
Time
they had
Lord
two of them.
They borrowed those from one of the exhibitions.
Yeah,
excellent. Right, back to the scene in which he's looking into the Untempered Schism thing. Now the fact is, it looks really good. The thing I wonder, it makes you think: could he have jumped into that and actually ended up somewhere in time and space, or would he have just done what Jack did and die? But nevertheless, anyway, he looks into it. But if you look at that particular shot of the Untempered Schism, underneath it there's the classic logo, Time Lord logo, that I happen to have tattooed on my arm, and I think that's the only time that logo is actually used or seen in the new series of Doctor Who, because they change it to the more recognisable Time Lord texty stuff that we see now, but that logo isn't there in that particular shot.
The seal of Rassilon sort of thing.
That's all I wanted to say. It shouldn't have taken about 7 minutes to get
the one that was in Vogue.
Anyway,
well, another thing. This is the first time we've seen that a Time Lord could be black.
Yes, I think. Yes, maybe.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me wonder. I mean, if they run that risk that looking into the time vortex when they're that young can drive some of them mad. I mean, that puts a lot of, you know, like master madmen out there that the others have to keep track of.
Well, maybe that's what happened to the Ronnie.
Yeah, but we don't know. It hasn't happened to the Doctor. We don't know he's sane. He certainly doesn't act sane.
No, he's
madman with a box.
There we go. Right then, right.
But he says he ran away.
Indeed. Right then, back to the scene.
He could still be insane while he's running away.
Okay.
You know, we could never do a commentary in episode because the amount of time it takes just to cover 1 second of footage.
Yes.
I could probably just go.
Talk about the episode. When I have listened to some other commentaries on other podcasts, they end up joking around and barely even referring to the episode they're talking.
Yeah, we
watching.
Do better commentaries, and we're not actually trying to do a commentary.
Exactly.
can I just mention something about commentaries? I've been listening to a lot of the old classic series, and comparing it with the commentary of the new series, they go so off topic in the old series. They talk about, oh, this was a good actor or something, and they don't talk about the show. Does anybody else notice that?
It depends. Like a lot of the more recent commentaries with Toby Haydock, he keeps things online.
And thank you for pronouncing his name correctly, unlike virtually every other podcast in existence. It's like, I'm going to change the subject because Siobhan Galichon and David Keep were insisted on calling Annika Wills Anique Wills until they happened to meet her. And suddenly now they're calling her Annika Wills.
Yeah.
I know people have to tell her it's Annika Wills before she they actually pronounced their name right. I don't know.
Got to hear it from the baby's mouth.
And they called Toby Haydock all sorts of funny names, isn't Toby Haydock? Haydock?
Yeah, Haydocky.
Yeah, Haydocky. Haydocky. Anyway.
Goodness.
This is Toby Haydock.
Don't care how off topic we get, we do not get as bad as some other podcasts.
Thank you, Mary. Anyway, back to this everlasting scene I've been trying to talk about for the last 20 minutes.
The 20 minute Doctor Who podcast.
Right. This. Basically, 20 minute Doctor Will Who you podcast. Be quiet? Right. They show a shot of the Citadel. Now, all these sort of graphics are very reminiscent of 1930s Flash Gordon style imaginings of, you know, alien cities. And yes, it is very exciting to see the Time Lords in their garb. Yes.
Actually, you know, the image of that, the city on Gallifrey, is the image taken from Gallifrey Guardian, or the old Gallifrey Guardian logo in Doctor Who magazine.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. If you have a look at old issues, I don't know, going back to maybe the 80s, I think, late 80s, early 90s, and that's the image of the Gallifrey Guardian at the top, at the header of that page. You'll see the image like that city there.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Also, the thing that reminded me...
Were there no images of Gallifrey in the classic series?
Yeah.
Well, it's you get the whales, but with the
not a long distance one. Anyway, but what I was trying to say that the scenes of the master looking into the thing did remind me a little bit of the wasteland in what's the one with the Sontarans in it?
Invasion of Time. I know. Invasion of Time.
Yeah, when they were out in the wasteland, it did remind me a little bit of it, and only slightly.
With anyway. Max Faulkner.
Mm-hmm.
And Gay Waterhouse, the Australian horse lady.
All right. Anyway, the Doctor, this is when he creates the keys, or the sort of, what they call them again? Perception filter thingamajigs.
Yes. Well, after the Doctor has discovered that Jack works for Torchwood, and he looks at it kind of shocked.
Yeah, good point. Sorry, I forgot about that.
And we get a bit of the Torchwood theme playing there too.
Yeah.
And now, didn't Ben Foster write the music for Torchwood?
He did most of it because Murray was very busy with Doctor Who, but obviously Murray thought, I might use that.
I was going to say, they work together because Torchwood music is always showing up in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, just after that, this obviously they go and find the Master and wear their new gadgets while watching the Master meet the President. Again, I quite like these exchanges.
During these scenes, he says he's the President, and during the later scene, he says he's President-elect.
Oh, right, okay.
What's going on there?
Yeah, which is odd because the President-elect has no power. So why he thinks he can come and, you know, make things happen, I don't know.
Yeah, good point. I hadn't really noticed that. But anyway, I do like...
Maybe because RTD's not American, so he probably doesn't understand. Maybe.
He doesn't understand how it works.
Maybe so.
Neither do I.
But I do like the exchanges between the Master and the President. I just quite like that.
Oh, and I have something to say about the perception filters on those keys. Have you noticed that when the Doctor's doing the demonstration for Martha, he puts the key like around his neck and suddenly, you know, she can't really see him. But then he takes it off, but he's still holding it. So you'd think it would still be working.
Yeah.
And only when he would let go of it and not be in touch with it would she really be able to see him.
And also the Master, John Zimak's very good that I know they're there, really. Sort of look at
Yeah.
She's really, really good. I like that. That's why it makes John Sim the right choice for me to play the Master, because he was that skillful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also saw a very darker edge to him, even when he was doing this all the silly stuff with the gas mask or opening the door and hearing the lady screaming. I saw this. He was playing up the comedy deliberately, to try and make people uncomfortable, because why would somebody be laughing at that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. From the beginning, I didn't think it was true comedy humor.
No.
No. But then, anyway.
I was going to say, when I first watched it, I did think it was a bit over the top. But having rewatched it now, with the history sort of behind it, I can see as to what you're saying now, Mary, with that darkness behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so I sort of changed my opinion because, yeah, I was a bit of the what Matthew was talking about when I first watched it. But yeah, I guess I have changed my opinion now. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, I have changed my opinion too, and I've done that with the entire story. I thought it was a bit silly the first time I saw it, but it makes a lot of sense, and I'll cover the bits that actually do make sense, and hopefully Matthew will have something to come back at me with.
Yeah, fair enough. But they used the vortex manipulator to get onto this Valiant thing, which, as I said just a moment ago, was a little bit silly, but it's a science fiction program, so we'll forgive it. Will we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I guess
it's only a TV show.
Yeah, I know. When they first land on it, of course, they feel a bit queasy because they would do, and they beam up a little bit Star Trekky, I just like the way they look out through the round window, and Martha puts her hands on it. Reminds me a little bit of that scene.
From 42.
But she doesn't.
Very judgmental.
Please let me finish. She doesn't tap on the glass like she did 100 times in a dozen. Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Reese, carry on.
The Doctor's become very judgmental of Jack now he's found out he works for Torchwood. Because when Jack says, let me go and just stab him in the back or shoot him or something like that, he just turns to him and says, that sounds like Torchwood, and implying that I don't want you to do anything like that, I don't want you to think like that, and I'm judging you. And I thought that was very harsh of the Doctor.
Mm, maybe so. Well,
He knows the history of Torchwood, and he knows that their primary mission was to get rid of him along with other alien life, so I would be distrustful too.
Jack's proven himself, I'd have thought.
Maybe so. Well, yeah, the Doctor hasn't really seen that, as he hasn't seen what Torchwood have done yet. But anyway, meanwhile, the Master is trying to sort of arrange for the public assassination of the President, and also the Doctor discovers his TARDIS has been cannibalised into a paradox machine. Yeah, it was quite a shocking scene. I remember watching it first time round. Oh my God, what have they done to the TARDIS?
Yeah, all chained up.
The Valiant, there are unit logos around it. Does that mean it's a unit piece of technology?
Comes back to the Centauri strategy.
But aren't unit clever? There's a bloke here.
Really?
Yeah. Right, there's a shot just after that when they're showing families watching the news, and there's a bloke in a little family gathering. Now that bloke is in one of the Matt Smith episodes as an extra. I clearly recognise the face because
tell me the time stamp for that.
Yeah, where?
36 minutes 27. He's got like a stubbly face. There's one Matt Smith episode, probably the one with Craig in it, the Cyberman one, that he's in. Because when I first saw it, I thought, blimey neck, he looks like the bloke who runs the Vodafone shop in Newport. And I wondered I wondered if he'd been doing some extra work, because I know Chris Cowlin, who's my book publisher, has been doing lots of extra work. Cause he keeps on publishing pictures of it on Facebook. And I keep on saying, well, if you get any extra work on the Doctor Who set, please let me know. But he hasn't come up with anything yet. But he's constantly appearing on stuff in the background. But I don't think it is him actually looking at that shot.
I did see someone in a family saying, I saw a whole bunch of people at some tables. Is that it?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. Oh, that one.
Yeah.
That's like in a restaurant or something.
There's a baby that looked just like Gwen's baby, but it couldn't possibly be because the baby would have been a bit older. Anyway, right, moving on. So this is all
the baby born though. Then
maybe it's Stormageddon.
Yeah, very good. Obviously, this is all good stuff with the the funny sort of assassination of the president and the Doctor snarling on it.
I don't think we will ever hear the words "funny" and "assassination" in the same sentence again.
I think in reference to this episode, you would do because it was. It was quite funny, only because of the Master's attitude towards it all.
Oh, don't forget the little reference to the Jelly Babies.
Mm. Really? I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
Master Arthur's Lucy Jelly Baby.
Right.
Huh. And they are real this Jelly Babies. You can see it for a second.
Thank you.
Only you would be wound up by something like that.
Unlike the time
are they
the Bassets? Fourth Doctor.
Bassett's Jelly Babies, are they?
I don't know which kind, but there were times that the Fourth Doctor would offer someone a Jelly Baby and it wasn't a Jelly Baby. It always drove me crazy.
What was it?
Does it matter?
No, yes. It doesn't.
Anyway,
no.
when the Master sort of got out his sonic laser doodah thingamajigger, I just happened to have one in the drawer here, but the batteries have gone dead, so I can't. Oh. I can't actually.
Sure. Oh, so Grace you're really the master? Okay.
Anyway, it's all very good stuff, but this is obviously leading up to the bit where the Master makes the Doctor look a little bit older, and this is obviously in reference or refers back to the human John Smith looking old looked a bit different to the Time Lord. A doctor looking old, a lot less hair for a start, but it was very, very good makeup, I have to say.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful makeup, yes. And even his suit was a little looser on him, as you know, on someone, as it would be on someone who's older.
Losing weight, yeah.
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 But so, also, do I remember David Tennant saying something about when he was wearing that makeup? It reminded him of his dad or his granddad or something.
No, I don't know.
I remember Patrick Stewart. That somewhere too, yeah.
Mm.
And the
it was Patrick Stewart. He fell asleep and woke up and saw himself in makeup and he thought, wow, I look like my dad.
Well, it's funny to say, you know, you said about Patrick Stewart, that's reminded me of my favourite TV series, non-fictional TV series, Who Do You Think You Are? Comes back to BBC One on Wednesday, and Patrick Stewart and Alex Kingston are two of the people on it. So I'm really looking forward to those ones. Moving on. So basically this point, all hell breaks loose. I nearly said something a bit rude then, but all hell breaks loose. The Doctor whispers something to Martha, basically teleports, and so she teleports away, and all the Toclophane are coming down to kill a third of the human race, is it? Or one-tenth or something?
And even though that's a special effects extravaganza, it looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And you notice also...
Anything wrong with it being a special effects extravaganza?
Please be quiet. Have you noticed that Tennant's doing a lot of...
Yes.
Yeah, so that's sort of the end of that episode. But
No, it's all right. We're going into the next episode.
No, if you want to say something about the previous episode, please do so.
No, that's all right. We just go on.
One of the people who provides the voice of the Toclophane also was one of the voices for the Gelf back with
the Young Quiet Dead.
Charles Dickens one.
Witness, yeah.
Okay, right. 1 year later, 365 days later, in fact. Yes.
And this is where things started falling apart for me with this.
Okay. Well, yes. Martha turns up on a beach and meets up with that chap from Miranda's boyfriend from Miranda, and also a baddie from Merlin.
Don't watch that.
He's a baddie in Merlin as well. Mm. I thought he'd been in Doctor Who.
Everyone's been in Merlin.
Mm. I think they
seems so. Everyone's been a baddie in Merlin.
I haven't seen Free Imagine in it yet.
I read that the guy playing her brother was supposed to be in this episode. He was supposed to be on the beach meeting her as well, trying to help her subversively. But apparently he had another acting job, so they had to write him out of the script.
You're sure he didn't have another radio presenting job to do instead? Anyway, right.
Well, that's what the radio says. Everything says he had something else he had to go do.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
Can I just mention something?
Yep.
Of course.
No, I was just going to say, you know what... the Doctor really said to Martha when he turned into the old man?
What really, or in the story?
No, what he really said in real life.
No, I didn't.
What David Tennant said.
Oh, while they were filming it?
He was just saying, can you get me some incontinence pads when you step out, please?
So why didn't she laugh?
Because she's a good actress.
Yes.
Okay, right. Moving back.
One okay, she did was that, takes
was that a joke? Is that really something that you heard on a commentary or something?
No, it's a joke.
Okay.
Very good, Robert.
Well, however, John Barrowman in interviews has said that during the time that he was a part of the Doctor Who thing, they were pulling pranks on each other, and Martha or Freema was a part of the pranks too, so it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he did say something. So.
Indeed. Right. Anyway, meanwhile, obviously the Master's been quite funny again with the Doctor and that by making him a little tent and wheeling him around in a wheelchair and stuff like that, persecuting him and stuff. Very funny. Shouldn't be, but it is.
An eyebrow mom has been dressed up as a maid.
Yes, they've all been dressed up. Jack's been tied up on a cross sort of thing and constantly being killed all the time. There's a great big statue of the Master while Martha and I forget his name, the Doctor, if she fancies
Tom Milligan
yeah. Sneak up on all the missiles, which are is it in the Nevada desert or something like that? I can't remember now.
If they mentioned the commentary, I didn't listen to the commentary. I didn't have time.
It did look rather like a quarry in Wales to me, but there you go.
Yeah,
I could find out where it was.
No.
There was a throwaway line to the Master carving his face in Mount Rushmore too.
Yes.
Now the Toclophane sneak up on Milligan and see him, but are unable to see Martha right behind him, which was quite weird.
She had the perception filter.
Yes.
She mentioned that because he said, "Why don't they see you?"
But
pay attention, Adam.
I'll delete that bit. Edit that bit out. you lot keep harassing me. And of course,
that's their job.
I'm pretty sure this there's a background there that looks a bit like the Sarah Jane episode with the Brigadier was in as well. For the Unit HQ was filmed near there. Yeah. Very similar. As if this is the first episode in which Martha mentions the fact that she loves the Doctor. The Doctor himself is not saying that much at this point. He's just sitting there and watching and waiting, really. Master is persecuting the Jones family.
That area where the missiles are is just a quarry in Wales.
I said that.
Yes.
It's Vaynor Quarry, if you really insist.
Yes, thank you, Kirby. Lucy has a bit of a black eye, implying that the Master's not been particularly nice to her.
I think because you start to notice her body language is starting to be a bit negative, isn't it, towards Master.
We meet what's the name of that, the oldish woman that who sort of gets
gives the flowers at the end
because she wants information about her son, but Martha says something on the lines of
Know
thine enemy or something like that. Implying that she knew all along that she was a baddie.
Actually, that's what I liked about it. When she explained things later on, they showed you flashback to these things to reinforce it in case you missed out. That was good.
Well, it makes sense if you haven't watched every episode. So after this point...
It's in the same episode, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. The Doctor winds up the Master again somehow and gets turned into a very, very well, basically turns into Gollum.
Dr. Dobby.
Yeah. Dr. Dobby, very good.
Can I mention something about that?
Yeah.
Why would he shrink? Yeah, go on.
That the Master actually made him a little doctor suit.
He did, out of his actual suit. Yeah, I did notice that later on. But why would he shrink if he's really old and ancient? Just a matter of interest.
Yeah, he just looks so stupid.
I mean, he has Time Lords like that, though.
Mm-hmm. He's got little teeny tiny teeth, even, you know, and you think when they're that old, they wouldn't have any teeth.
Yeah,
well, he had big feet, too, didn't he?
Time Lords might have.
Yeah. Yeah, his feet and hands were big out of proportion with his body. It was really stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, time,
but you don't know what would happen if you were accelerated as a Time Lord like that, so...
Mary, can you tell your cat to be quiet, please?
The birds, the cats, I must be driving you crazy.
No, dogs only on this podcast. Meanwhile...
including the doctor in his tent.
Excuse me?
What? What, have you just let one go?
No, Robert has cats.
I've got cats.
I was I was joking. I love cats. I just haven't got any. Anyway, moving.
You were insinuating that I was a dog.
I'll be quiet. I've lost where I was
now. You only have dogs on these podcasts.
I was joking about animal dogs, not podcast presenting dogs.
Yes.
Anyway, they go after a Toclophane and bring one down because they've heard that one was brought down by a lightning strike. This is Martha and her little team, by the way. Meanwhile, the doctor's been put in a cage with, like you say, a little suit made out of his
bird cage.
Yeah. Not the doctor, the golem Dobby thing.
Dobby, yeah.
Eyebrow lady and her husband are getting a bit friendlier. Very sweet.
Aye.
Very sweet. It's not much good. It's sort of like, Master goes on about his experiences as a child to Lucy, doesn't look particularly interested. What's her name again? The professor woman?
Doherty.
Yeah. She manages to get the ball open. We see the face, which is quite gruesome, really. Mm. It looks a bit like reminiscent of Davros.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw it, it was really gross.
Still looks gross now, actually. Very clever, very, very clever. And the eyes, that even though they are clearly plastic, do look alive, even with the cataracts on them. Very, very clever and gruesome and probably very scary for young children, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we see some flashbacks of Utopia because obviously this Toclophane is in fact one of the just happens to be the actual one, I get the impression.
No. They explain
that they share their minds.
Sharing the minds.
Yes.
Oh, okay, fair enough. But nevertheless, so
that's something good about when you watch it again, because
you pick up on things like that.
You come to that conclusion when you first watch it, but then watch back.
Mind you, that does explain away why they remember Martha telling the little boy that. But why doesn't, if they share their minds, why don't all the other Toclophanes see this one talking to these three?
Excellent point.
Yes, but Reese. He's been zapped, though, so probably it took out all his communication.
They didn't mention that in the episode, though. But
what they do mention here...
But they didn't mention it.
But what they do mention just after that is they remind people that the Doctor has fused the circuits in the TARDIS permanently, which is a bit silly to remind people of that, but never mind. Just to move away to the closing ceremony of the Olympics, Emily Sandé is singing. But didn't she have her time?
She would be doing that.
Really be quiet. She's actually... She been... sung in the opening ceremony, so I think that's a bit off. So he's had her chance.
Yeah.
Give
other people a chance.
Yeah.
Get us Doctor Who.
Where's all stuff going? Oh, yeah, the Gollum character.
Dobby talks to
the Master
Dobby,
about stuff.
I like that.
And then, is it Milligan? I keep forgetting these character names. Shoots Milligan, the Toclophane. Not very nice, really, but nevertheless, does it?
It was big nasty.
Was it?
I thought that was a really evil implication, what happened to them.
Yeah.
Just thinking about how they had all this hope when they were leaving, and then the Master turned them into that, pretty much.
Yeah. Back to the Olympic closing ceremony, that they've actually created London in the middle of the...
Wait a minute, did you say the Master turned them into that? I don't think he did. I thought they turned each other into that. That they cannibalised...
He planned it, though.
No, he probably did. Nevertheless, they've created London on the pitch of the Olympic Stadium, and it's very, very clever.
Welcome
actually.
To the 20-megabyte Olympic...
Julian,
be
quiet. Julian, be quiet. Julian Lloyd-Webber is playing... And,
what are we reviewing anyway?
Will you be quiet? Timothy Spall is doing some acting. Timothy Spall is a very famous British actor who played.
Yeah. I have heard of him.
A character in the Harry Potter films, Peter Pettigrew, to be precise. And they've now created the M25 around the running track. with loads of trucks and stuff. It's brilliant.
I'm sure the master is behind that.
Doctor Who Connection. Doctor Who Connection. Doctor Who Connection. Timothy Spall is playing Winston Churchill. There we go. Right. Moving back to Doctor Who. And of course they're showing, because it's London represented on the pitch, they're showing the clock of the Houses of Parliament, which of course a spaceship crashed into in the second ever episode of the new series of Doctor Who.
Well, in the US they're still showing the last games, so I don't think we'll see these ceremonies till tonight.
And of course
I have no TV on it
unless they actually mention Doctor Who. We'll show Doctor Who precisely. The last thing I'm going to say about the Olympic Games is I thought it was quite nice that the last medals won at the Games were included a British athlete in the modern pentathlon and a Brazilian athlete.
Is there an
Australian? And of course, the Games are being handed over to Brazil at the end of this ceremony, which is nice.
Ah, yeah.
I thought it was rather poetic. Anyway, at this point, back to Doctor Who. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. At this point, the woman, forgotten her name again.
Doherty.
Yeah, she breaks. She sort of snitches on Martha, so she can get some news about her. So Martha, meanwhile, is telling people about the Doctor, how wonderful he is. This is all to do with.
Did you mention that she told Doherty about this amazing? Weapon.
Yeah. This fake thing, which we find out.
Well, we don't know this thing.
No, this the.
I was watching this for the first time. I thought it really was.
Oh, so did I. Yes.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah. I bought it.
Yeah,
that's the nature of a MacGuffin.
Yeah, good. Yeah. But anyway, all this is to do with this Archangel network, which the Doctor's trying to turn, basically flip over and turn against Master. You know, basically. Turn the tails on him.
Master.
He's trying to use the human race and flip a coin and completely turn the tables. That's the phrase I was trying to find.
To pray the entire thing away.
Yeah, he's trying to use the minds of the human race to the power of the mind and the Archangel network to telepathically turn the tables on the Master. Of course, the Master
wasn't
now.
Wasn't that crap?
I don't know.
No.
Can we come to that in a minute?
No.
I'll explain why it's not.
Can I come to that in a minute, please?
Yes.
Can we actually get to that part of the story? It'd be quite good. Unless I skip to it. I could always skip past these bits if you like. It's up to you.
No, carry on.
Oh, blast. Okay. so the Martha initially is hiding under the stairs scared, and then she decides she's got some courage and walks out and
so
faces...
she's hiding up the stairs, not under the stairs.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
So she faces the
pedantry.
Be quiet, the Master.
Is there an off switch on your pedantry?
No. You should have heard me yesterday about coasters.
Be
quiet. Be quiet. The Master is just about to kill Martha when, Milligan, is it? Runs out and gets blasted instead, and then he decides he's going to kill her in front of the Doctor.
Yeah. But how come he didn't get vaporized?
It depends on the setting.
President elect.
It depends on the setting and how much.
Oh,
please let me answer the question. It depends on the special effects budget and the setting on the weapon.
And it's the top of fame that shot the president.
Right.
Oh, anyway. Yeah.
That's right.
Moving on. Martha obviously gets a welcoming committee on Valiant. And she has to throw the vortex manipulator into the Master's hand. This is all sort of building up to the launch of all these sort of missiles and stuff. What are these missiles supposed to be going to do? Just wipe out the planet? I don't understand what they're there for.
Probably.
The rest of the universe, apparently.
It's meant to burn across the universe. Hang on. It's set to burn across the universe to, he doesn't say.
Wreak
havoc, yes.
Yeah, okay. But at this point, everybody, because the clock's counting down, isn't it, to the moment that Martha has...
And the Master says, I could never resist a ticking clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
he's done that. That's a classic series thing again.
Madness are playing at the opening ceremony. We saw them at the Isle of Wight Festival.
And you got your fez from there, didn't you?
Yeah, and also, Toby said it, what, Madness, the Scar Band? Hopefully, if you get to see the closing ceremony... You'll get... This is a few weeks ago. You'll get to see Madness. Fantastic. Yeah, so
my name's Kirby, not Toby.
I said Kirby.
Oh, okay.
You said Toby.
You said Toby.
I said Toby as well.
I said Kirby.
You said Toby.
Anyway, yeah, so basically Martha's been spreading the word that everybody at a specific time, good that everybody's watches and clocks are all synchronized, but anyway, at a certain time has to say the word doctor.
Maybe it's the same. It's the same virus that the 11th Doctor sent through in the 11th Hour to set everything to zero.
Yeah, maybe so. But then, anyway, the Doctor then starts growing, and lights are shining, and the birdcage disappears in the process of him sort of getting out of it.
I didn't like that rubbish.
And he grows and grows, not necessarily for the power of prayer, although that's what the implication is. It's the telepathic power of the whole of the human race.
From the 15 satellites.
Yes, lots and lots. This is
crap.
It was okay.
No, it's not.
It's okay.
It's total sense.
And even Lucy is saying doctor.
Yeah, Lucy says it too.
It's a bit cheesy, but it's fine.
I wouldn't deny it's cheesy. But
what I can't understand, it's all right while the Doctor returned to his normal self via this process, is his suit also returns. That's a bit, I don't really mind the Doctor.
No, if you'll look at him, he's in a different suit. It's a different colour.
Well, how the hell does that happen? Yes.
And a different shirt and tie. It's totally different suit.
Through the power of everyone going, Doctor, Doctor.
Yeah, look, I don't mind the Doctor returning.
It is a kid's show. Well, family show. So, remember that.
Oh, they could have thought.
How did you tell Kirby that? He's more pedantic than
Robert,
that.
Robert, they showed the Doctor naked in the Last of the Donna stories.
Yes, I know, when he regenerated.
So they could have shot it from a certain angle. But his, not only does his suit and that grow with him, his Converse All-Stars also grow and become brand new, etc., etc. But I'm mocking it a little bit, but I haven't got a problem with the power of all this telepathic energy turning the Doctor into back to the Doctor.
It was set up in the first half, though.
I haven't got a problem with that, really. I
didn't care whether it was set up. I just thought it was naff.
I don't.
No, I think it's okay.
That's my opinion.
But, of course, the bit after that, the first thing he does, he goes up to the Master and says, I forgive you. And then they get beamed down to Earth to see the launch of the missiles and stuff.
Missiles did launch, so.
No, but that's what they went down to watch.
Yeah, I know.
And then the Toclophane all come down to, you know, wreak havoc. And they end up back on the thing. That's right, because Jack ends up in the TARDIS and shoots all the.
Why didn't he do that in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid.
You needed the Doctor to be ready. He couldn't be Dr. Dobby still.
No. Actually, they do explain it.
But that would have reverted things back, though, because the paradox would have ended.
The Doctor explains that Jack could do this because the Doctor now understands the particular paradox involved.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's good. Well done, Kirby.
Okay.
See, without you...
I wondered that myself.
Without you, Kirby... That would not be possible. Anyway, right. So then obviously time does, like the RTD's favourite reset switch. I don't mind it in this episode.
All reset.
No.
It made sense with the paradox machine.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it
in this particular instance.
People's lives that have just. That everything that happened to them.
I prefer it to the way things happened at the end of the last series of Doctor Who, where the Doctor dies. It's definitely the Doctor. It isn't. It's actually a robot.
Adam, that's taking notice to Moffat.
No. I'm just saying. I prefer this.
Listen to Moffat.
I prefer this the way this is put right to that one.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I like in all the scenes where things are going backwards and all the papers are blowing around. Half those tapes have the unit logo on them.
Ah.
Yes.
Back to the closing ceremony. Pet Shop Boys are now playing. We saw them take that.
Wait, you said you weren't going to bring up the Olympic.
The occasional mention.
Yeah.
Adam, right. What song are they singing?
I don't know. The volume's down. Oh, for goodness. I'll turn the volume up and see what they're singing, shall we?
Oh, Robert, you had to ask.
Go away.
I can't find the mute button again. Oh, West End Girls.
On the remote control somewhere.
West End Girls, right then. Meanwhile, the Master tries to escape, but Jack catches him in the lift, and of course all this leads to... they're all going to decide they're going to kill him. Well, Martha's eyebrowed mother does anyway. But she can't bring herself to do it. And the doctor, Jerry, gently removes the gun from her hand, but unfortunately doesn't keep it away from... Or does Lucy have her own gun?
I think Lucy has her own gun.
No, it's the same gun.
No, it fell on the floor, didn't it?
Yeah,
she throws it down on the floor or something. And then...
I think the doctor should have put it somewhere else, don't you? Because he
wasn't expecting Lucy to do that.
No.
Well, I'd be absolutely sure. Anyway, so basically she shoots him and he refuses to regenerate, and then we'd have a lot of... regenerate!
No, I'm not going to agree with you there. That was some amazing acting from him.
One Direction.
I thought his nose was
going
to run, though.
They got One Direction singing. I think that's bang out. They're not.
Would you stop talking about the Olympics?
No, sorry, I'm objecting. But One Direction been out for a year. They should not be singing at the closing ceremony of the Olympic Games. That's a disgrace. Carry on,
Adam. Your country has a lot to answer for, because One Direction are coming on X Factor over here.
Why? And
yes.
What
why?
Is One Direction?
Why? Yeah. It's a
band. One Direction are
made out of
UK. Created by Simon Cowell and X. Yeah, they were put together and have had a number one record in the United States of America. And that's you Americans have got a lot to answer for making this band successful.
It wasn't my fault.
Neither.
Anyway. Back
girls.
To the death of the master, which we've rather glossed over. A lot of, and then this is a bit that I don't think John Sim would have enjoyed when he starts screaming in his ear hole.
I know, I was thinking that too.
And he starts crying.
Okay, David, that's a good acting, but how?
He starts crying like a baby, and everybody's watching and thinking, "What an absolute idiot!" So anyway, he burns the master's body on a pyre thing, which is
that really links it. Because, that links into. The last series too.
Because he has to destroy the Time Lord DNA, which he doesn't quite do because there's some still in that ring thing, obviously, at the end of the episode that gets picked up. Martha goes and finds Doherty and gives him flowers. What's the point in that? Totally pointless.
Yeah. I like that.
Why? She's never met her, really.
Mm. So? No, totally but pointless. It felt it was something that kind of helped Martha
to recover. Adam, remembering also that Martha and the whole bunch that were on the Valiant, they remembered everything. So it's probably her part of coping with it.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, what
not
happened?
Needed, really. I'd forgotten about that. I'd forgotten about that.
She also called up the doctor.
Hmm? Okay.
Tom Milligan.
She phones up that.
Oh, yeah. But then that's fair enough because she sort of fancied him a bit.
She wants to go and find him.
Yeah. I thought that was fine. Of course, this is where they say goodbye to Jack, and Jack sort of says, "When you used to be known as the face of Bo." Yes.
On Wikipedia, it's saying in the series 4 episode, the Sontaran stratagem Martha is engaged to Thomas Milligan.
Yes.
The pediatrician she travels with.
You go. Thank you. I said there was a romantic involvement.
But
meanwhile,
she ends up marrying Mickey, though, obviously.
Yeah. I'm talking about Jack and his saying he's getting wrinkles. Will he live to a million and stuff like that? Or billion? And he needs to be called the face of Bo. I'm still not convinced about this face of Bo thing, to be honest with you.
I have a hard time with it too.
I think it's.
I think it's great.
It's okay. It's romantic. It's romantic, but silly. So anyway, that's a bit frustrating because that's the point they could have had Jack and the TARDIS. Forget Torchwood. That's great. One series, one off. Let's have Jack and the TARDIS. But no. And the second series of Torchwood has been commissioned, so he must return.
Yeah.
And this again, like you say, Martha phones up the Doctor.
I missed Torchwood in that incarnation. It was so good.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
That was Miracle Day. That
Martha
was excellent.
Martha sort of says goodbye to the Doctor and stuff, and
it's sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bit like Amy's temporary departure from the TARDIS, in a way. That didn't last.
This reminded me of something when the Master's goading David Tennant about, You used to have companions that could absorb the time vortex. Mm. Referring to
yeah.
Rise.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree.
Another thing that reminded me of something is that this reminds me very much of the Wedding of River Song, in that they still remember what happened, yet it didn't happen for anyone else, and it reminds you of what happens with River and Amy and Rory. They remember it.
There you go, Moffat borrowing ideas.
Oh, poor old Moffat.
It's almost exactly the same line.
Okay, fair enough. So she says goodbye, and he operates some controls, and next week we'll actually talk about what happens in between that bit and the Titanic crashing into the...
Ah, excellent.
Okay.
Back to the story that we were... Don't forget, the very end, the funeral pyre finishes burning, and something happens.
And the lady picks up the ring, like I said, didn't I? I did. Which obviously...
And who picks the ring up?
The jailer, isn't it? I can't remember now.
Miss Trefusis.
That's it, and we did think at the time it was Lucy, didn't we?
But no, some people thought...
Was there a chicken
head? He did say it was the hand of the Rani.
Was there a chicken head?
The hand of the Rani.
So do we know that that's Lucy's hand?
No, it's not. No, it's not Lucy's hand. But I thought at the time it was.
I thought it was.
Mm. Everyone thought it was, but when they were writing it, when he was writing it, it was supposed to be the hand of the Rani, because he was thinking of bringing the Rani back in.
Jesus.
However, we do have the Master coming back again, but still no indication as to who picked up the ring.
No, it's Mr. Freeze. Yeah, it is. Later on in End of Time.
End of Time.
It's revealed,
Oh, okay. Maybe I forgot. Yeah. I haven't seen it again.
Okay, To sum up, I can understand why people get annoyed about aspects of this story, but
Watching it again helps, though.
On the whole, I quite enjoyed it. It's not, like I say, it's not the best finale. Mm-hmm. The first part is much better than the second part for me. But... It's okay. I didn't really mind the resolution as much as a lot of people do, to be fair. It's a bit cheesy with the Doctor sort of doing that. And I didn't like the fact that his suit was, when he was changed into a golem, it went all... It stayed its same size, but when miraculously he's turned back into a Doctor again, it then sort of goes with him. I know, obviously, it's a children's programme, but they could have shot it from a different angle and had him naked and wrapped a towel around him. And
Tennant wouldn't have enjoyed that.
It would have looked a bit odd with him cuddling the dying master while being naked.
The episode with him in a new suit, all new colours and everything, because that's what he wears into the Christmas invasion.
Yes. Right, so summing up, yes, I've said my piece.
I would agree with you that the first episode was better than the second one, but there are lots of parts I enjoy about the second one. I think the whole idea of everyone saying Doctor makes as much sense as the Doctor being aged by the laser screwdriver.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been any word. It could have been something else. But I suppose Doctor is as good a word as any, considering the TV series is called Doctor Who.
It's as cheesy as the Jarlsberg I've just eaten.
And it's as cheesy as saying, Doctor Who? Doctor Who?
At the end it makes as much sense as that, but the thing that does make it cheesy is the Doctor hovering and getting a new suit, like you pointed out. But if that didn't happen, I'd have bought everyone saying Doctor, because it's explained that it uses the Archangel Network, which was set up in the first part, and that makes sense, but it does look a bit cheesy with him having the blue colour, blue coloured regeneration effect, it looks like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Floating around him. But other than that, it makes sense, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, I didn't mind, the people willing him back, with their doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way they chose to do it, with him floating and all that, unless it was... some part of the regeneration, because he couldn't even be killed. Remember, they tried to shoot him and it didn't affect him, which is true of whenever a doctor regenerates now.
Yeah. Anybody else? No.
I liked it a lot more the first time I saw it than this most recent time I watched it. I still like the first episode. I still like the first episode much better, and it's okay, but I think it is my least favorite of all the series finales.
Finales?
Okay.
Yeah.
Robert?
I pretty much have to agree with everyone, but I still don't like that.
You don't like what, sorry?
being brought back the way he was. I mean, I think what RTD was good at doing was building up to things, but sometimes the payoff isn't as exciting as the setting up.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
But I enjoyed it actually better this time than when I first
watched
it.
Yeah, me too.
So,
I like it better this time.
That's interesting because I liked it least less.
Yeah, I was gonna point that out.
Funny.
Maybe I was in a bad mood when I watched it. I was thinking about roller coasters instead.
Anyway, to move on. Obviously, next week is, like I said, it's the Voyage of the Damned. That will conclude this run of the series of looking at New Who until we've obviously reviewed the current series, the Series 7. Obviously, the other thing I wanted to say that the Sunday Daily Star has announced, not now, sort of reported that Matt Smith is signed up to play the Doctor until at least 2014, which is nice. That means he'll do a full series. But doesn't it feel really weird? Because it's, for me, it still doesn't feel like it's that long since he actually took over the role, and we're already coming into his third series.
It does, 2 years, yeah.
But Adam, I was looking at my DVDs, because I put back the Series 3 box set, and I was just looking, and there was 2 full box sets of Matt Smith there, and I was thinking, you know, that's 2 years. This is his third year. I mean, it's a bit light. So, and obviously they're working towards the next year. So,
And clearly, if he's going to be signed to play the Doctor until at least 2014, that indicates an eighth series, but which is very exciting because I like Matt Smith and it's good.
Indicate an eighth series. Because if it's 2 through 14, that means, you know, how they've been breaking it up into like six and 13.
Yeah, but this is technically series 7 A and B. We're just about to see.
They just split it.
And then I meant ninth series. I'm getting all confused.
You are.
And they'll want to get to a 10th because that'll be the 10th new anniversary, won't it?
But mind you, why didn't they just call the specials a series?
Yeah, they might as well have made half a series.
It was part of season 4.
Yeah. It was. Right. So, the only thing I want to say, because I keep forgetting to, it's not technically related to Doctor Who, but I wondered if any of the listeners could help me out. My novel, The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, has been out for many, many years. The sequel has been written and now is on the verge of publication. Ooh. Now, the publication of this is not going to be by paper book. It's be released as an e-book. Now, it's still with the same publishers, Apex Publishing. Oh, nothing wrong with e-books. Everybody's got Kindles and iPads now, so a lot of people read their books. No, right. A lot of people have.
I don't either.
Never mind. Unwilling Virgin is still available as a paper book.
Then, Adam?
Can I finish?
I don't know.
Either it gets published as an e-book or it doesn't get published at all. So if it doesn't get published at all, you won't get a chance of reading at all. See?
But you can watch it on your PC, though, can't you?
Well, it's an ebook. You can download it onto
your
computer.
Yeah, you can.
Maybe Pocket or something.
What I'm trying to say is, and if you want to read Unwilling Virgin, it is available to download via iTunes as an ebook. There are only 500 copies of the paper book printed, but they are available online. If you want to get it, lovely. Thank you very much. I haven't had any royalties off it for about 8 years, but thank you very much if you want to buy it. The point is, what I'm trying to make is, I've finalised the text for the sequel, which is called From Troy to Man, and it needs a cover. So I can send them the thing, but they want the actual text and they want the cover. So I can't pay anybody for designing a cover for the ebook, but if you do send, or you can send me a cover, it will, and I obviously. If I like it, and obviously I'll be the one that chooses, and if the publishers like it as well, of course it has to be us and them that like it, then it will become the cover of the book. So if any of you artists out there would like to do the cover for From Troy to Man, I would suggest trying to read the first book because you get some idea of the characters. I think there has to be a bit of a deadline on this because I really should be sending it off to the publishers by now. I've had about 3 or 4 months to actually, you know, edit it and get it done. And this is the last stage. So, yes, if you want to try and design a cover for this book, please email it to me at 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, where you can, of course, also send in your feedback for the show. And I say the deadline, it's fair to say the... should we say the end of September? That's long enough, don't you think? Gives you long enough to download The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, or buy it, read it, and send in your artwork. And I suspect I will get absolutely nothing, by which case I will
do one, Adam.
Thank you. I will be contacting local schools. But so there you go.
The artwork,
so that's
too.
That's. I've been meaning to say that for a few weeks. Completely forgetting. I've said it now.
I did very well in my art class. Thank you very much.
Well, you can try, Robert. I'm scoffing, aren't I? I have no reason to do
so. Yes, you were scoffing.
Sorry. Well, thank you, Robert. I would appreciate that.
Ah, can I just mention something?
Yes.
You know the guy who played Andred in Invasion of Time?
Yes.
He's 71 years old today.
No, you wouldn't believe it, would you?
No.
Right, so the only bit of news I was going to mention, obviously we were talking about it last week, Richard Ebert Grant is going to be in the Christmas special. He's played the Doctor in the Schalke story, of which title reminds me, Scream of the Schalke. Scream of the Schalke. Yes, it was written by Paul Cornell. What have I done now? Have I got that wrong then? I'm pretty sure it's Richard Ebert Grant.
I was just going to bring up your little insertion of your prediction that they're going to bring up his name in last week's episode. That fake.
Just to see if anybody was listening, and clearly you were.
I was.
Yeah, so the character group have also issued profit warning. Does that mean that they're obviously in trouble? Which might mean we might not get any more Doctor Who characters made. So that's a bit of a worry.
What?
Characters, they make characters, Doctor Who. Oh, never mind.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that's not very nice news.
There's a Doctor Who Monopoly 50th anniversary edition coming out. Don't
Ooh,
play
I love
Monopoly,
that.
But might get it for novelty's sake.
They're about $100 or so, though.
Yeah. The BBC have confirmed that they are making a 50th anniversary drama about the inception of Doctor Who called Doctor Who, An Adventure in Time and Space.
Yeah, I thought we said Space that last time. Week.
We may have done, but I'm saying it again. No, we can't have done, because the date of this report...
Because it's going to be produced...
Yeah, 9th of August.
It's going to be produced by Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, or Gatiss, written, as he likes to be known.
Written.
Is it Gatiss?
Or written, yeah. I thought apparently.
Yes, Gatiss.
Gatiss,
yes. Do you know why?
I keep saying...
Because he's gay.
Gatiss.
Oh, be quiet.
No, he's gay,
so before he realised he was gay, he'd called himself Mark Gatiss and decided, oh, I'm gay, so I'm going to... Nonsense.
I just feel like Siobhan Galichon now, because I kept calling him Gatiss, but it is Gatiss, is it?
Yes.
It's Gatiss, yes, it is
Okay, Gatiss. I'll try and remember that from now on.
Right, what else have we got here? John and Carol Barrowman have written the Exodus Code, which is... it's a spin-off series, Torchwood.
That's
the Exodus
Code. That's his sister or something.
It is his sister, yes.
Yeah.
Looks very much like him, funny enough. What else have we got? I think we've cut some out, haven't we? Doctor Who Magazine delay. Doctor Who Magazine was announced that the next edition, due to be published on the 23rd of August, will be delayed by at least a week. Probably due to there's probably spoilers in it for the new series, knowing them.
No, they're denying that, though.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
We've heard nothing about the start date, then?
No. But I'm still hoping it's the last Saturday in August, which should be the 25th, won't it? I'm slightly doubting it now.
But BBC America just keeps saying, new Doctor Who coming this fall.
During the show, The Women of Doctor Who?
No,
the advertisements all still said coming this fall.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to watch that special yet because I was riding roller coasters.
And of course, August isn't the fall or autumn, for that matter. It's still the summer. So carry on. Carry on, Robert. You're going to say something. Yes.
Over here in Australia, it'll be spring in September 1st. And I did see an ad saying Doctor Who coming spring. But mind you... Doctor Who does tend to show a week later here in Australia.
Which remind me of a little bit of a problem for when the new series starts. If we were to record, say, that it goes on Saturday nights in Britain, I love saying the way they do it in the comedy of Britain. Yeah, if we go Saturday Nights of Britain and we record on Sunday, you lot are going to have a bit of a problem trying to review a programme you haven't watched yet.
I'll be able to see it.
Yes.
I have no comment.
My chin's itching.
But anyway, has anybody got anything more to say?
Well, BBC America has shown the second of their specials. One of them last night was about the women of Doctor Who. And again, it was always just the new ones. And and it was okay, but you have a lot of different people. They even had Peter Davison on talking.
Yeah, I saw that he was going to be on.
Yeah. And
He's not a woman of Doctor Who, though.
Well, maybe he's got a secret.
But, you know, it was mildly interesting. You know, it didn't say anything new about the women.
No. They should have at least mentioned Sarah.
They do.
Well, she's in the
current series.
Of course, talking about Sarah Jane Elizabeth Sladen does remind me of the tragic news about Mary Tam's husband passing away after the eulogy, not long after reading it. It's, like I said on Facebook, it's tragic, romantic at the same time, but then you think of their daughter, you know, having to go through the terrible, terrible pain of losing a mum and then to lose a dad, you know, after still grieving. Oh, an awful thing. But he
was apparently at home, though, answering emails.
Yeah, that's what I heard,
condolences, yeah.
Awful. Very, very sad. And but, on I that mean, note, what a terrible way to end the podcast.
Sorry to put you all on the down.
It is nice to think that they're together, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's the romantic side of it, but I just think of their daughter. I think if they didn't have a young daughter, you know, that would be very romantic, but, you know, I just think of her.
And,
well, I don't know, but she's still young enough to not really need to be losing both her parents within 2 weeks of each other. but there you go. Yes. So, as I say, we're coming very close
something
to the new
happy,
series.
Quick, something happy.
It's a new series soon.
And yes.
Okay, that's exciting.
Images and stuff that's coming out are very, very exciting.
I'm uploading the pictures of my roller coaster stuff.
Oh, we're looking that on
Excellent.
Facebook. Excellent stuff.
It's going to take a while. There's 252 pictures.
Oh, I look forward to seeing those.
My Lord, who took all those pictures?
Don't forget to post a link on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. And also, talk about the 20 Megabyte.
Are you driving, riding the roller coaster?
Elbow are playing. Excellent.
Elbow?
They played at the Isle of Wight Festival as well. They've borrowed all the Isle of Wight Festival acts for the closing ceremony.
Tennis was an Olympic sport.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Tennis elbow.
Yeah, very good.
At 65 medals in total, you really have to pinch yourself when you realise you that 16 years ago,
I've lost the mute button again. A bit of elbow at the closing ceremony. That was quite a happy thing to try and change the subject from. But I was just about to say something. You interrupted me, and I've completely forgotten what I was going to say now. What were we talking about? What was I going to say?
Well, we have a cable channel here called Palladium. And it's always showing concerts from various groups and locations. And last weekend they were showing an Isle of Wight festival.
And that's what I like to see.
It was from several years ago, but it's interesting nonetheless.
Yeah. But like I say, it's a new series coming very soon. Very excited, all the stuff that's coming out. And I'm very much looking forward to it. Of course we would be, we're Doctor Who fans. So on that note, I'm going to say thank you all very much for joining me this week, and thank you listeners for listening. Don't forget to send in your feedback to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, and I'll just check to make absolutely sure we haven't had anything else via that said address, because you never know, something might have dropped into the inbox late, as it sometimes
does.
We haven't heard from Jim the Fish.
And we still haven't heard from Jim the Fish. Not on this instance.
And Tecum and James.
It's been a while.
So anyway, until next week. Thank you very much for listening.
Adam.
Yes.
Who are the sponsors?
whowon.co.uk. But I think we've mentioned them enough on previous weeks.
whowon.co.uk.
Yeah, it is. And thank you to them for sponsoring us. Never mind. See you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. about Doctor Who podcast is an ABP3 services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!
Beeble Brooks, you are on your own now. You have arrived on the Frogstar.
Hey, what? Who are you?
I am Gargavar. I am the custodian of the Total Perspective Vortex.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, why can't I see you? Why aren't you here?
I am here. At least my mind is. My body wanted to come, but it's a bit busy at the moment. Things to do, people to see, you know how it is with bodies.
I thought I did.
I hope it's gone in for surgery. The way it's been living recently, it must be on its last elbows.
Elbows? You mean its last legs?
I know what I mean.
Hey, Wild.
So you are to be put into the vortex, yes?
Well, this cat's in no hurry, you know. I can just slouch about, taking a look at the local scenery, you know.
Have you seen the local scenery?
No. Okay, well, I'll just slouch about then.
No, the vortex is ready for you now. You must come. Follow me.
Yeah. How am I meant to do that?
I'll hum for you. Just follow the humming.
Okay, anything for a weird life?
The universe, as has been observed before, is an unsettlingly big place, a fact which, for the sake of a quiet life, most people tend to ignore. Many would happily move to somewhere rather smaller of their own devising, and this is what most beings in fact do. For instance, in one corner of the eastern galactic arm lies the great forest planet Oglaroon, the entire intelligent population of which lives permanently in one fairly small and crowded nut tree, in which tree they are born, live, fall in love, carve tiny speculative articles in the bark on the meaning of life, the futility of death and the importance of birth control, fight a few very minor wars, and eventually die strapped to the underside of some of the less accessible outer branches. In fact, the only Oglaroonians who ever leave their tree at all are those who are hurled out for the heinous crime of wondering whether any of the other trees might be capable of supporting life at all, or indeed be anything other than illusions brought on by eating too many oglernuts. Exotic though this behavior may seem, there is no life form in the galaxy not in some way guilty of the same thing, which is why the Total Perspective Vortex is as horrific as it undoubtedly is. For when you are put in the vortex, you are given just one momentary glimpse of the size of the entire unimaginable infinity of creation, along with a tiny little marker saying, "You are here."
Hey man, what was that?
A man being put in the vortex, I'm afraid. We're very close to it now.
Hey, it sounds really bad. Couldn't we maybe go to a party or something for a while, think it over?
All I know, I'm probably at one. And my body, that is. He goes for a lot of parties without me. Says I only get in the way.
I can see why I wouldn't want to come here. This place is the dismalest. Looks like a bomb's hit it, you know?
Several have. It's a very unpopular place. The vortex is in the heaviest steel bunker ahead of you.
The universe does that to a guy?
The whole infinite universe. The infinite suns. The infinite distances between them. And yourself, an invisible dot on an invisible dot. Infinitely small.
Hey, I'm safe on Beeblebrox, man, you know?
That is precisely the point. Enter.
Hey, what, now?
Now.
It doesn't look like any kind of a vortex to me.
It isn't. It's just the lift. Enter.
To get myself in the right frame of mind for this.
There is no right frame of mind.
You really know how to make a guy feel inadequate.
I don't. The vortex does. There. The vortex. the Total Perspective Vortex. Enter Beeblebrox. Enter the Vortex.
Enter the Vortex.
Okay, okay.
The vortex derives its picture of the whole universe on the principle of extrapolated matter analyses. To explain, since every piece of matter in the universe is in some way affected by every other piece of matter in the universe, it is in theory possible to extrapolate the whole of creation. Every galaxy, every sun, every planet, their orbits, their composition, and their economic and social history from, say, one small piece of fairy cake. The man who invented the total perspective vortex did so, basically, in order to annoy his wife. Trintragula, for that was his name, was a dreamer, a speculative thinker, or, as his wife would have it, an idiot. And she would nag him incessantly about the utterly inordinate amount of time he would spend staring out into space, or mulling over the mechanics of safety pins, or doing spectrographic analyses of pieces of fairy cake. Have some sense of proportion, she would say 38 times a day. And so he built the total perspective vortex just to show her. And in one end he plugged the whole of reality, as extrapolated from a fairy cake, and in the other end he plugged his wife, so that when he turned it on she saw in one instant the whole infinity of creation and herself in relation to it. To Trintragula's horror, the shock annihilated her brain. But to his satisfaction, he realized he had conclusively proved that if life is going to exist in a universe this size, the one thing it cannot afford to have is a sense of proportion. And it is into this vortex that Zaphod Beeblebrox has been put, and from which a few seconds later, he emerges.
Hi.
Beeblebrox,
you're... Fine, fine. Could I have a drink, please?
You've been in the vortex?
You saw me, kid.
And you saw the whole infinity of creation?
The lot, baby. It's a real neat place, you know that?
And you saw yourself in relation to it all?
Yeah.
And what did you experience? What did you experience?
It just told me what I knew all the time. I'm a really great guy. Didn't I tell you, baby? I am Zaphod Beeblebrox!
Is it really true that Zaphod Beeblebrox's ego is as large as the universe? Does this actually have any bearing on anything else in the story, or indeed on anything else at all? Has everyone totally forgotten about the increasingly mysterious Zaniwoop, last heard of taking an intergalactic cruise in his office? Is it worth hanging on to find out the answers to these exasperating questions? Find out in the next unedifying episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.